The 23-year-old, the pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. That's out to center, and this is going to do it. Bellinger waving his arms under it. He's got it. And the Los Angeles Dodgers are headed to the World Series. They win Game 7, 4-3 on the late homer by Cody Bellinger. The Dodgers are National League champs.
We heard it all year that the Dodgers were the best team in baseball. And we took them to Game 7, and we gave them a little heart murmur, I think, in the series. We gave them everything they could handle. And, they just made the right plays at the right time.
They certainly did. That was Freddie Freeman of the Atlanta Braves speaking after last night's elimination by the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Kevin Barker, just, can you hear that sound? Can you hear that?
I don't hear anything.
You know what that sound is? That's me being right. Huh?
Yeah,
I got the Rays over the Dodgers in the World Series. I called it, my friend.
I called it once.
I'm not bragging, but I called it.
Yeah, I say it once, and I'll say it again. You know, you said that 5 years running, sooner than later, those two predictions are going to come true, and just so happens it's 2020.
Well, I guess if you want to be cheap about it feel put out that I was right with my remarkable prediction.
Yeah. Way to go out on a limb. That's for sure. Yeah.
Wow.
Best pitching in baseball and the best lineup in baseball. Way to go, Jeff. You did it. Congratulations. You know, I will say this is hard for me to admit, especially when I'm watching you on FaceTime and you're wearing the dumbest hat that I've ever seen somebody wear in the history of wearing
hats. My friend, that is a Tampa Bay Rays hat. I'm wearing it everywhere for the next week, until they beat
four games until they get swept. That's for sure.
It's got no chance. Dodgers got no chance. Keep this in mind, my friend, that, you know, Dave Roberts is being heralded as some sort of genius for finally figuring out how to use a bullpen. Keep in mind that this is something the Rays have been doing for the past 3 years, right? They didn't have a starter this year qualify for the ERA title because they didn't give their starters many innings. So Kevin Cash and the Rays are much more comfortable playing this bullpen. This game of bullpen bingo than Dave Roberts and the Braves are. But we'll have plenty of time to break that down. It is the Braves, or it is the Dodgers and the Rays in the World Series.
You can't even say it when you're right.
I'm so happy. You know, blind squirrel finding a nut.
It's the Rays, and whoever cares about the other team. That's who it is.
Yeah, it's a Rays and somebody from the National League. It doesn't matter. Whoever it is, the Rays are going to win in six games. So it doesn't really matter. Let's talk about the Dodgers first of all. They did win Game 7. You know, I was watching the game. Kike Hernandez comes off the bench and hits a home run. And the first thing I think of is you telling me how pinch hitting is the hardest thing to do in baseball. Which I agree with, because when you think about, you just think about what pinch hitting means. You're not in the game. You probably warmed up in the tunnel scene, and now you got to go out. And it's in the seventh game. It's the seventh game of the NLCS. We saw Kike Hernandez. The count's 2-2. Fouled off three pitches, and there's a story about fouling off pitches. We're going to talk about that later. And then the eighth pitch of the at-bat, he hits a home run and a fastball. Okay, you've pinch hit. Tell me what Kike Hernandez is trying to do when he goes up in that situation.
Just put the ball in play. But if you looked at his number, he's got 8 home runs since 2017 in the postseason. You know who leads the Dodgers in that number?
Mm-hmm.
Kike Hernandez, mm-hmm. You know, the center of gravity, he is really good at that. You see, he's very balanced. You know, he's not the biggest of guys, which allows him to pick the leg kick up, set it down, you know, in one area that he doesn't gain a lot of ground with that front foot, which is a big deal when you're coming off the bench. You got to be as quiet and as quick as possible to do that. That front foot has to be special, meaning special is pick it up, set it down. That allows your hands to be direct into the baseball, allowing that bottom hand to be your steering wheel. I talk about that all the time. Me, when you're coming off the bench, you want to get a pitch to hit. Now I know he got the 8 pitches, and the 8th pitch he hit for the home run, and basically where he stands at in the batter's box, that ball that was middle in at 97, that's almost right down the middle. You know, he wants the ball close to him. He don't want the ball away from him because of the reasons I just mentioned. He's not the biggest of guys. Doesn't have the longest of arms. He doesn't want the ball away from him. He wants that ball closer to him, and when he gets it, you know, again, it's 2020 is the thing of how do I just get the barrel of the bat to the baseball. You know, the power is, I talked to you this before. The last time I talked to you, I think I talked about direction. You're not trying to direct that ball to certain spots. You're just trying to barrel the baseball up. And if you get a little backspin and you know, you generate some launch angle with your upper half by the bent, and that'll create the barrel below the baseball, and that'll get the baseball in the air. You know, it's no rhyme or reason for this thing. You know what you're getting out of the bullpen, which is what, Jeff? Power and a secondary pitch. If you can recognize the two, meaning if you can see it out of the hand a little bit better and lay off of that secondary pitch that starts strike and ends up a ball, that'll give you the opportunity to hit the fastball. But I will say early in that count, he fouled off a fastball about the same spot he hit the home run on, which means in his mind he can say, okay, I got the feel where my feet are at, where my hands are going, and how it feel to get it out in front, and I just missed it. He throws me another one there. I have a chance of hitting it hard. He's not trying to hit a homer. He's trying to hit it hard. But getting that pitch early in the count gave him an opportunity to be a little bit more confident. And confidence is the thing. And you know, is Dave Roberts the greatest manager in the history of managers now that he took a guy out and brought a guy in? The guy actually got the job done?
No, you that's Kevin Cash.
You can say, yeah, there you go. So you got two of the greatest managers in the history of baseball up against each other. Something's got to give, doesn't it? Who's going to make the mistake first?
Oh, Dave Roberts. As I said, the Rays, this is entirely within their character, handling pitching this way. This is how Kevin Cash does things. Dave Roberts, it's like the kid who's finally, you know, he's had the toy on the shelf for 3 years. He hasn't quite figured out. It's like the Rubik's Cube. He hasn't quite figured out how to do it. And then one day he picks it up, looks at it, and it works out. And now he's going to take another 3 years before he gets the damn thing right again.
Yeah, well, I will say this about the Rays. This is one thing they'll have to worry about. The Dodgers got through the Braves, the second-best hitting team in baseball, in the Braves, with Mookie Betts having one extra base hit in seven games. Max Muncy struck out half of his at-bats. He had 22 at-bats. He struck out 11 times, Jeff. And Will Smith basically gave him nothing. I know he had that one big hit in the seventh game, but basically otherwise he had done nothing. And they got through that series. If those three guys, or at least one of those guys, you know, Mookie Betts, you would think, is going to figure out how to not swing at a ball that's not a strike. If he can do that and have better contact at the plate and maybe start getting more hits, that'll sort of, you know, line everything else up. And that may make it hard, a little bit harder for your, you know, the best manager that you've ever seen managing, Kevin Cash. You know, who's he going to? When's he going to go to him? How will he use the lefties that he has? Because, you know, the Dodgers do have a little bit of an issue with the breaking ball from a left-hander. How will he use the guys that he has to maximize, you know, when he uses them? That'll be an interesting thing to look at.
There's a lot made last night about, you know, the way the Dodgers grinded out at bats against the Braves pitchers. Tom Verducci of SI, a terrific article, talking about the number of pitches they saw per plate appearance was just under five. I think it was 4.8, 4.6, which is more than you usually see in a Game 7 for whatever reason. It's more than you usually see in a Game 7. Now, the Dodgers fouled off 25 pitches, and I'm thinking about a discussion I had with Josh Donaldson one day. And as usual, he was pissed off at me for something. I don't know what it was. Probably just for being
stupid. Get in line.
probably just for being stupid. But so I figured I was going to kind of make it up to him after the game. He had a horrible game. Just one of those games where you're grinding and nothing's happening. But he did have one at bat where he fouled off like six pitches. So I thought, okay, I'd, you know, walk up to him. And and he wasn't the most talkable, quotable guy a lot of the times, but I didn't mind it because you kind of knew he was being honest. You know, it's like one jackass understands another jackass, right? We have this thing where we kind of understand when it's real. But anyhow, I kind of said to him, oh, man, tough at bat, grinded out that at bat. You know, I think he fouled off six, seven pitches. It might have been a game against Kansas City or something, but he grinded out that at bat, fouled off a bunch of pitches, you know, and he looked at me and he said, you're saying that like it's a good thing. And I was always told, hey, you know, guys foul off a lot of pitches, wear the pitcher down, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. And his point was, look, how do you know that the first pitch I didn't foul off was one I should have barreled up? So it really wasn't a good at bat for me because I got my pitch and I mistimed it. And the rest doesn't matter. The rest doesn't matter. I wanted to ask you about that. As a guy who played the game, you've heard that, right? Hey, great at bat, way to work the pitcher.
Yeah.
Is it always that? Is that always accurate? Oh, you fouled off a lot of pitches. Great at bat.
Yeah, well, the difference between me is fouling pitches off and taking a pitcher's pitch is totally different. You know,
explain that.
Well, the 4.5 pitches per plate appearance. Yeah. Okay, if I'm a guy and I don't like a secondary pitch, I don't like something spinning, why would I try and get to a pitch that's spinning? You know, I want to put my best swing on a pitch that I like early in the count that's with something hard, with something that's straighter. You know, maybe a pitcher with a little bit of sink, but if that's up and out over the plate and that's 1-0, I put my best swing on it, I foul it off. For me, that's not a good swing. I should be hitting that ball hard because that's what I'm looking for. That's what I want to hit. That's where I want to hit it at. So that, you know, when I see a pitcher's pitch that's down and away and it's that ball that's half a ball off the plate early in the count and I take it, and then I get to two strikes and I choke up and then I start fouling pitches off, that's totally different for me. So it all has to do with where you're at in the count. Early in the count, you're fouling a ball off. That to me doesn't really mean that's a good at bat. Two strikes, I'm trying to foul off a pitcher's pitch to get to a better pitch that I can at least put barrel to baseball. That for me is a good at bat. Now, if you just an example, Cody Bellinger, you see him swinging at pitches that are, you know, out of the zone. He's got the fanny that goes out. He's, you know, he's lost his lower half. He's using all hands. He's out and around. He hits a ground ball to shore on a seventh pitch of an at bat. Is that a good at bat? Probably not. So it's, you know, you have to really dive into, are they really working the count, or are they just, because that guy has a really good pitch and they don't want to swing at it, that's why they're getting deeper in counts. So, you know, those numbers that you read off there, the 25 fouled off pitches. Yeah, I'm with JD. I would rather with good pitch, because you're facing good pitching now. You know, the Dodgers here have to have, for me, good approaches and early in counts. I want to swing at a strike early in count because I know most of these guys have really good secondary pitches, whether it's that 12-6 yacker, whether it's that slider that goes back foot to a righty or back foot to a lefty, which I don't want to get to that. I want to get to something that's straighter, that's hard early in the count, and I want to attack that. So it's you got to be careful reading those numbers off. I know that sounds good, that you're fighting at bats and you're working that pitcher and you're getting it to the next guy. Getting it to the next guy, well, if you're a Dodgers hitter to a Tampa Bay Rays pitcher, that's not saying anything because that guy's better than the next guy you're facing. So it's, you know, it's as a hitter, I was a guy that didn't like a secondary pitch. I wanted to pit my best swing on something straight early in account, and I wanted to put it in play as hard as I could. If I wasn't doing that, for me, that's a bad at bat.
590-590 is a text line. I've already said, surprise, surprise, I think the Rays take this in six. I think they'll probably lose interest and lose at least one game, maybe just get bored and lose one game.
I think they got a hit.
I'll say six just to be in the safe side. Everybody always picks seven games in the World Series. That's kind of a coward's way of doing it. You know, that means picking somebody to win in seven games is like sitting on the fence. I'm being bold. I almost felt like going Rays in five, but I got Rays in six. So 590-590 is the text line. Please reach out and tell me how right I am. And if you want to say something else as well, you can. Orestes Estrada, Rays TV analyst, will join us a little later in the show. It was Orestes Estrada, I think, who first told us about Randy Rosarena, right? Going into the Jays series, keep an eye on this guy. And we're going, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, he had quite the postseason. We'll talk about the Rays a great deal. And again, 590-590, please reach out. And if you like what you're hearing, go and subscribe to the podcast, rate us, review us, tell everybody how great Barker is and how he's carried me. And that'll be fine as long as you give a good review. I really don't care what you say as long as the review is good. All right, I want to talk about Mookie Betts. You know, pick a catch, any catch. You know, the play for me that I think really kind of turned the tide of this series, Kevin, was in Game 6, that sinking liner where he doesn't dive for it. He just picks it up, you know, just runs in, shoestrings it, and gets Ozuna.
Yeah.
And I mean, to me, that kind of turns things around. But Mookie Betts is a great defensive player. We know that.
Yeah,
his defense can be game changing. What has he got to do at the plate? Like, what are you seeing from Mookie Betts at the plate? And what does he have to do?
I think he's trying too hard. You know, I think he signed a big deal. Anybody that signs a deal like that is expected to carry their team. I think he's carrying that over to, you know, jump on my back. I'm going to carry you to the World Series win that we haven't had since 1988. I think if he just goes up, simplifies it as much as swinging a strike. I think some people, it is that easy that they just go up and don't chase. I don't want to chase up. I don't want to chase in off the plate. I don't want to chase down and away from the righty breaking ball, whatever that pitch is. I want to zone in. I have my little box when I walk to the plate. It's, you know, it's bigger for him because he has some of the greatest hand-eye coordination and the quickest bat in all of baseball. So it's, you know, the box for him's a little bit bigger. But there's my box. I walk up. I don't go outside the box. If he doesn't go outside the box, he will help this team win a World Series. I really do think, for me, it's up to him. I did mention the one extra base hit in the seven games in the NLCS that he just came out of. If he starts hitting better, that will make everybody else's job that much easier down the line. Like a Will Smith won't have to feel like he has to carry a team, come up with a big spot with two outs and drive in a run, because Mookie Betts has already started doing these kind of things. I do think for him, it's just don't go outside the box. If he does that, Jeff, because again, what do the Rays, the pitching do better than most teams do? Because they have so much power that they can throw at you from so many different arm angles. I saw one from like 9 o'clock all the way around to 3 o'clock. That's the arm angles you're getting, and it's all power. There's none of that's running 88. It's all 94 plus, right? And it's all from different arm angles. Well, you know, we're seeing lefties throw. Aaron Loop was throwing 96 the other day from over here. Where is that? What is that? Aaron, all you have to do is go to Tampa, and then you're adding 3 miles an hour to your heater?
Listen, I tell you, I absolutely believe that one of the reasons we're seeing all this velo in the postseason is this is like mid-July for these guys.
Maybe.
They've been playing baseball now for what, 8 weeks? 9 weeks?
Yeah.
This is July. This is August. This is, you know, the body's ready. And yeah, that's why we're seeing 96. It's funny though, watching all that velo. Like, part of me's watching it and going, it's like, for me at least, the bar for Nate Pearson gets raised higher and higher, because I'm looking at guys throwing 101, you know, with easy 101 and doing it multiple times a game. And it's almost where I'm saying, boy, Nate Pearson's going to really have to impress the hell out of me.
That's exactly right. Well, you look at Cody Bellinger, I just mentioned. It's almost like you can watch him when he's at the plate telling himself, don't chase. If I can just not chase this pitch because I have a quick bat. I know he steps in the bucket, but where he stands at the plate, the stepping in the bucket, if he can keep it in the zone longer instead of the alligator arm where it's in and out the barrel, which is what he's doing a lot because he's chasing with the fanny out, if he can keep the barrel in because of the hand-eye coordination and the bat speed that he has, you can see it. Just watch him up there. He's thinking, if I can just not chase that pitch and get it in the strike zone, it's like Mookie Betts. Flip it around to the right side. So for me, it's those two guys. If those two guys can just think, box, here's my box. I'm not going outside that. How dare you make me do it? If I can stay within it, I can help my team win. We're going to win this World Series together.
They're not winning. 590-590 is a text line. We'll get to your picks, Eddie, in Fort Erie. I got the Rays winning the World Series in 5 games. And as for the Dodgers, Eddie, you're bold. Five games. If you can't win a World Series in 162 games or a 60-game season, you should back the truck up. A lot of people asking about that. Do you think Dave Roberts could get fired? We had Ned Colletti on. I don't think – you know what? Normally, like, if we were talking 10, 11 years ago, yes. But I think that there's such an understanding now in baseball – that so much of what you see a manager doing is a reflection of plans put in place by the front office or by base analytics people. I just don't think managers get fired as much as they used to. I could be wrong. Nowadays, when a manager gets fired, Rick Renteria gets fired, we're stunned as hell. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that most people realize now that managers are just executing wishes of the front office.
Yeah, I think your team, Jeff, when you have this many superstars on one team, your superstars have to be superstars. You can't always blame it on the manager one of the, you know, the players, go down the line, Mookie Betts, Max Muncy, you know, Will Smith starting to turn into a little bit of that. Clayton Kershaw, let's go, right? He's going to have to pitch some big innings here. Kenley Jansen, is the four-seamer cutter thing going to work? All of these things, he's got to step up.
What I will say, and then we'll take a break and Orestes Estrada will join us. What I will say is this. If the thing that could really hurt Dave Roberts is if he makes an egregious managing mistake with his bullpen that ends up costing him a game and goes against the perceived analytical wisdom. If I was a Dodgers fan, I would be concerned that Kenley Jansen was effective the last time he was used. Because, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that one-run game.
That could be fool's gold.
Yeah, that one-run game, do you really give it to him? That
bingo.
Kind of thing, yeah.
I don't know if I'm buying into what Kenley Jansen is selling now. I know the track record's great, and every manager in baseball is loyal to his guys. I'll get all that. I get all that, but I'm still not at the point where I can trust Kenley Jansen in a big situation. And if I was a Dodgers fan, I'd be concerned that you know, Dave Roberts may think, yeah, maybe I've solved the riddle. Man, I got Gratterall. I got Urias. Even Trinan. There are a lot of guys I'd go to before.
Yeah, Joe Kelly right might now be an interesting guy, too. He hasn't been used a ton. You know, he throws super hard. If you can ever control the breaking stuff, you know, could he pitch a little backwards, throw the breaking ball first, expand with the heater kind of thing? So he might be an interesting guy. They might want to come into play. Dustin May, that's another guy. That power,
yes,
99 to 101 mile an hour sinker coming from that Bronson Arroyo thing. You know where he kicks the leg straight out? It's very hard to pick up. That's something the Rays are not used to seeing. Could he use him and maximize what he's bringing? I'm with you. Dave Roberts might be huge in all this, but I get back to the superstar thing. You got superstars throughout your lineup. Let's go. Let's see it. If you want to be the Dodgers, let's see you be the Dodgers.
Orestes Estrada is the Rays TV studio analyst for Fox Sports Sun. He's the man that tipped us off about Randy Arozarena, so seems to be the perfect guy to get on. Orestes Estrada joins us next. 590-590 is a text line. Lots of time for your text. We'll get to it, I promise. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. $5.90 is the text line. Give us your World Series picks. I've already said I got Rays in six. Barker has not made his pick yet. He'll wait until the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can do it now if you want.
I got Dodgers in seven.
Coward. Well, it was, I don't know, was it 2 weeks ago when we had Orestes Estrada on and we were talking about the Rays? And we were talking about Randy Arozarena in particular. And at that time, Orestes Estrada went out of his way to sell us on Randy Arozarena. Needless to say, I'm buying whatever Orestes Estrada is selling right now. He is the Rays analyst, Rays TV analyst with Fox Sports Sun. Orestes, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, that was a pretty good sales pitch on your part, my friend.
Brother, he's made me look fabulous. He's made me look like a stockbroker that's on point right now. And oh, by the way, I've got some land over here in Okeechobee that it's a little, you know, water laden, but hey, I think you should buy it right away. I've got an acre, and it's wonderful. Just let me know, and just send me a check. Listen, he's something special, and a lot of people are comparing him and going, oh, he's like the Cuban Mookie Betts, and he's really not. I'm going to be honest with you. The best comparison that I can say for him, I think you guys will really appreciate it, is he's more like a Bo Jackson. And the reason I say that is because the kid's still very raw. When you really, and it's interesting because they're both going to be in this fabulous World Series, right? And Mookie Betts is a more – like refined player. I mean, there's so many aspects, true aspects of Mookie's game. We just saw the last three nights how great defense he could play. You know, he's got a great eye at the play. He can hit home runs. He can drive runs. You know, Randy Arozarena is still kind of, believe it or not, learning the game. But his rawness reminds me of Bo in the sense of, like, my gosh, there's so many things that he can do. and wait until he really figures this game out. He's going to be an MVP type. So he's a lot of fun doing some, you know, so ungodly things.
Okay. So, say I'm the Dodgers, and I'm tuned into this station, and I'm listening to you sell Randy, and I've looked at all the stats, and we're watching video, and all of a sudden, first game, we figured out how we need to get him out. Whether that's, you know, we pound him in, we go with secondary pitches away, we don't throw a ball down the middle when it matters. Who's the other guy in this lineup? If we stop Randy, if you're a Rays fan, that needs to be key. Is it G-Man Choi? Is it, you know, Yandy Diaz? Who do you think needs to step up?
There's two guys, and they're from the other side of the plate, that really have had, you know, horrible honestly, if you really, you know, study the offense of the Rays throughout the playoffs, especially in this ALCS, they hit barely a 200. It was Randy that hit about 470 and made up the difference. But really, it's two guys that are just not really showing their wares and how good they can be. That's Brandon Lau. And really our 1-2 from last year, Brandon Lau and Austin Meadows. Austin hasn't really clicked much for a steady period of time this year. He had COVID. He was injured. In fact, he's looking a little bit heavier for me than last year. He's not as streamlined, so it's probably affecting his swing a little bit. But the kid is so talented. I still feel that this kid could possibly be an MVP type, you know, when given a full season and healthy, et cetera. So he could surprise you and just, you know, figure it out and do some dynamic things at the plate. Right now, he's still pulling off with his front shoulder just a tad and trying to do too much. I hope he can relax a little bit and try to go the opposite field because he's so dynamic. And then there's Brandon Lau. Brandon Lau is a streak hitter right now. But if the streak goes up, watch out. Similar to me as what is Cody Bellinger for the Dodgers. Kind of similar type swing, these kind of like explosive, long, big, loopy swings. And you saw Cody Bellinger really did not have a strong, but you see the damage that he can do. Well, Brandon Lau is exactly the same. So those are the two guys that come into play. Obviously, Yandy Diaz, the other big Cuban, is different because he kind of, you know, works the count. Yeah, he's different than all three of those guys. He works the count. He can go the opposite field, makes a hitter, a pitcher work, gets walks. So he adds a different dimension. But those two guys, if they hit, watch out, because then it'll make a horrible time for the Dodgers.
Do you think that Kevin Cash changes the way he handles Brandon in the World Series? You know, let's say that Brandon Lau doesn't have a good game tonight. I'm sorry, tomorrow night. Or he's scuffling after two games of the series. Does he change the way where he hits or how he handles him? Does he sit him again? Or, you know what? It's the World Series, right? You go with the guys that got you there, even if they weren't always great.
I think he doesn't sit him because he is the guy that got you there. In the first month of the season, he was having an MVP-type season in this truncated season. Then he started going south a little bit in the second month, and it's kind of carried into the postseason. So, honestly, what I don't do is I don't frustrate him defensively and stick him in the outfield. I know he's trying, you know, he'll try, you know, they're so dynamic with what they try to do in matchups. I just leave him at second base. He's played a wonderful second base, even though he's been hurting offensively. Man, some of the double plays they've turned were key. So early in the series when they took a 3-0 lead, it was their defense and their pitching because they haven't created runs. It's been 75% of their runs have come by home runs. I mean, it's uncanny. I've never seen a team like this. And then it's their, you know, phenomenal defense and then the depth of their pitching. So I want to keep him at second quietly, maybe take him out of the number two hole because you want the most dangerous hitter in the number two hole, and that's a Rosarena. And maybe put him third, maybe put him, you know, fifth, something like that, and take a little pressure off. I'd even put him sixth, for that matter, maybe against a Clayton Kershaw, a tough lefty. But I don't take him out of the lineup. There's one guy I do not want to take out of the lineup.
How do you think Kevin Cash will use Jose Alvarado?
Oh, wow. Minimally.
Really?
I don't think he's ready to take on a heavy workload. It's a shame. I'm a big fan of the kid. But I think it's a dangerous thing to ask. There might be a specific lefty, maybe a Bellinger, you know, a specific time, not super late, but maybe in the fifth or sixth, you know, if one of our starters get in trouble. And literally, honestly, if we're behind and you're trying to, you know, not get any further behind, so you're going to bring a nasty lefty against a nasty lefty. But other than that, really, that's not the core. The core of the bullpen is that three-pack of going, you know, and try to find the situations of Nick Ander, you know, Anderson, Fairbanks we saw last night, and then the dynamic slider fastball combination sinker of Diego Castillo. If you look at the stats, man, this team I believe is 36-1 if leading after this the sixth inning, some unfathomable 40-0 after seven, 40 something, you know, it is crazy after the seventh, eighth, and ninth. I think they've only lost one game that they've led. So the MVP of this season for the Rays, hands down, has been not a hitter, not a starter, not a defense. It's their bullpen and the dynamic nature of it. But mainly that three-headed monster, and then you throw in a smattering of a few other guys.
Orestes Destrada joins us on Baseball Central. You know, you look at the Rays starting pitchers, and there's obviously a lot of focus on Blake Snell and Charlie Morton, who's phenomenal, and Tyler Glasnow. But you know the guy that kind of intrigues me going in this series, because the Dodgers do have an issue facing left-handers who throw a little softer. Ryan Yarbrough intrigues me. First of all, it looks like he's starting game four. But Orestes, I can see him being used out of the bullpen in game one, can't you? I mean, for a spot or for an inning?
Very likely. Yeah, I mean, you could also, you know, look at a guy like Fleming possibly. But bottom line is that Ryan Yarbrough could be that kind of, you know, equalizer. Very much like the kid Urias, you know, the Mexican kid. That look at what a job he did. He went 4-0, you know, and just did a phenomenal job. You know, handled three innings, last night for the Dodgers. And he's not the big name, you know, out of the bullpen. He's not the big name as a starter, but he's going to need to start, obviously, because you know it's a seven game series. But yeah, those two guys I think are going to play a factor, whether it's long relief, you know, bulk guy or you know, key starting, you know, in the fourth game, fifth game, something like that. Because, yeah, because you can have some short outings. I mean, think about, Clayton Kershaw. He can have a short outing. With the back the way it is right now, he's still quality, bro, because I didn't think he threw that bad his last outing. He had an error and a little, you know, infield hit that cost him, and all of a sudden he gave up a few runs. But he's still dynamic. But let's say he gets hurt again. Now, all of a sudden, here's a situation like that. So I look at Clayton Kershaw kind of similar to how I look at Blake Snell. What are you going to get from these dynamic lefties? At Charlie, at Chucky, Morton, and Glasnow as your 1-2, go get them. I'll tell you right now, the incredible guy that the Dodgers have is that Ferris Bueller, as I call him, but Walker Bueller. man, that kid is dynamic with 98 on the black, breaking pitches, a little bit of everything. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I think it's a phenomenal series, man. And I heard your takes, Jeff and Kevin, as though who picks Dodgers at seven? Who picked the safe pick?
That was me.
Barker took the safe bet. I called Rays over Dodgers at the start of the year. Well, I did. Swear to God.
Wow.
I put my name on it.
All right.
I know.
Okay.
I had Rays Dodgers in the World Series, and what's interesting is that, you know, the Rays, man, I'm glad it's the Dodgers. I mean, I'm a big Braves fan. As a kid, I was a Braves fan because we didn't have, you know, baseball in Florida when I was growing up. So it was, you know, it was the go get 'em Braves, you know, that you would get on the air on PIX. So Milo Hamilton is go get 'em Braves, you know. But I'm an old school, yeah, bro. I'm an old school Braves fan. But nevertheless, you know, I wanted the Dodgers, and I'll tell you why. Because here comes this little Rays man who ended up beating the Yankees in a dramatic five game, you know, to the hilt series with our boy Mikey B. Brasso hitting that, you know, incredible, you know, 10 pitch home run at bat home run. Then they beat, you know, America's most hated team, who was scary in the postseason in Houston. Man, if they go, I wanted them to see the other, you know, animal, which is the Dodgers. And if they pull off a three-pack, that's why I think they're going to go five-game series Yankees, seven-game series against Houston, and I think it'll go a seven-game series against L.A., and they take the monster and take it home. Mm.
Orestes, good stuff, man. Great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, have fun.
Oh, by the way, don't forget, Tom Brady also is looking pretty damn good. And I'm predicting a Rays World Series.
Oh, come on.
So that's the. I know you guys love your hockey, but hey,
I know where you're going with this.
Rays, hello. I'm reloading. And a Bucks trifecta.
You
guys hate.
We'll talk again soon, man. Thanks, Orestes. Take care. Orestes Destrat is a Rays analyst, Fox Sports. Now, think about that. Tampa Bay, I mean, they got the Stanley Cup. They get the World Series. This is a sports capital of North America.
Yeah, Chiefs are
after
pretty,
watching Chiefs, Tom Brady yesterday.
Chiefs are pretty good. I mean, the Bucks defense is pretty good. I'm not real sold on Tom Brady yet, throwing it to the wide receivers and all that stuff. You know, Kansas City Chiefs pretty good. I hate to say that.
Bucks defense is really good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Okay, to my defense about the seventh game, the reason why I said Dodgers in seven, I'm getting a little greedy. I want the Morton-Buehler matchup twice. I want it in game three. I want it in game seven. It could go either way, but I still like the Dodgers. I like their offense better.
Charlie Morton's fun. That's the only way I can describe it. I know that you think the Rays are boring.
Yeah.
Because all they do is catch the ball and execute.
Yeah, go stand right here and then somebody will hit the ball right to you. Yeah, it's kind of boring to watch. Somebody on Instagram.
Morton's fun.
Yeah, somebody on Instagram asked me, should the Blue Jays go and try and get Morton? And I said his value for me is not regular season.
Agreed.
It's now. Agreed. Is he worth giving you a 37-year-old a 1-year $18 million deal for a Blue Jays team who is, do you really think they're all in next year?
No, and keep in mind that Charlie Morton was basically retired. The only reason he came back was because the Rays had an open. He said he may not have pitched if the Rays didn't want him. He's settled there. He wants to spend time with his family. You know, this is gravy for Charlie Morton, man. He's got his ring. This is gravy for him. But, Charlie Morton, anybody would take Charlie Morton in the postseason, especially throwing 97. Still don't know where that came from.
Me either.
But, yeah, folks have got to keep in mind that, I'll tell you what, if Charlie Morton wins the World Series, he'll just shut her down probably.
Yeah, you'd think so. I think he wants to do that anyway.
I don't know if he has another year.
He does not. This is it for
his contract.
He signed a two-year deal. This is the second year.
Bruce in Waterdown says, I'm so glad Atlanta lost so we don't have to listen to fans complain that AA is gone. That's really fair. I don't know if that's really fair. I kind of understand the sentiment. I kind of understand the sentiment.
Yeah.
590 is a text line. We will get back to it. Lots of comments. A lot of people like the Rays in six. A lot of people, I think have a... they have a great deal of concern about things like TV ratings and that. I don't really care. You know, the people are trying to figure out what's a sexy matchup and what isn't. You know, if you don't like baseball, you're not going to watch the World Series. If you do like baseball, this is going to be a great World Series. If you're like me and you like being right all the time, it's going to be even better. 590 is a text line. We'll take a break and be back with more. It's baseball. Barker, you know I'm going to be, you know I'm milking this. Your number one, two, Barker. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, I think it sums up our team. You know, you go up 3-0, whether we get a little complacent, whether we get a little comfortable, whether we put some pressure on ourselves to try to end it quicker, we took ourselves out of our game. And guys came back today. There was a real sense of calm. It really felt how the clubhouse usually feels. These guys responded.
That's Mike Zunino, the Rays catcher. And, Kevin, it was interesting because one of the things I remember being told, I'm not comparing the Rays to the Yankees, but one of the things, the two best teams I've covered in terms of being dynastic or having a considerable run of success were the Braves teams in the 90s, and that was in the postseason. They'd always, after the Expos were eliminated, you'd go cover the Braves. The Braves teams of Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox, and the Yankees teams, all those World Series winners with the core four. And the one thing I remember hearing, and it was Jason Zillow is the Yankees PR director. Terrific PR director. I mean, just a tough job. It's a great job. And I remember talking to him one time about, I'm sorry, it was Rick Cerrone, actually, his predecessor. Still, same guy, tough job, same guy. I remember asking him one time about the Yankees clubhouse in the postseason. Because it was really crowded. This was back in the day where you had access to the players. So just imagine you have the regular New York media, which was huge. You had like 8 newspapers covering the team. And then you had all the national writers there. And I remember Rick Cerrone saying, you know, it's funny. There's more writers in here now during the postseason. But it feels the same. Like the way the players are, you know, if you go in the back room where they're getting treatment, the eating room, it's the World Series, but it's kind of, you know, it's another game. It's game whatever, 179 or 170 of the season. And that's what I found interesting, hearing Mike Zunino talk about that. Now, I understand there's not going to be a lot of media around the Rays because of COVID and the limited access. But that tells you something, I think, when a guy says, you know, we showed up for game 7 and it just kind of felt the same, right? You know?
Yeah, I think it's more about the pitching they have. They know that they have really, really good pitching. And
got Charlie Morton going, man. What are you worried about?
Yeah. You know, say they lose tomorrow night. The next day's starter's really good and the bullpen's great. So you can, you know, you have that to lean on. And if you can figure out how to get a timely hit, they're going to play defense, seems like, all the time. They're probably going to put a little bit more pressure because of their offense is struggling the way it is. That's the one thing for me I think you got to watch Kevin Cash doing. He might put more people in play. He might start running guys. He might start putting on hit and runs. You know, I don't want to say he's going to bunt. It's the small ball thing. I'm not real sure that works this time of the year, but I do think they might try and hit behind the runner a little bit. I know the direction of the baseball is a little bit tougher, but you still, because they have a little bit of speed throughout their lineup, if they can get the right couple of guys on, they can put runners in motion and that kind of thing. Again, this is going to be, how are they going to react? You know, if the Rays get ahead in this series, are they good enough to put the big bad Dodgers away? If they fall behind, are they good enough offensively to just say, we're going to go and not change anything? We're going to grind because of the pitching that we have. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see how the Rays handle all this.
I found I was extremely, I would say I was surprised. But, you know, I think in a lot of ways we haven't made enough of, and I'm not doing this intentionally to blow smoke up Kevin Cash's ass. But one of the things that I liked about Kevin Cash is even when they were in the process of blowing that lead, he was pretty consistent. You know, and I'm watching that game. I'm watching game 7, and he's making the decision to take Charlie Morton out. And I'm thinking to myself, this in some ways may be the perfect kind of marriage of analytics in baseball, because essentially what the Rays seem to have done, Kevin, is they've taken a lot of the emotion out of the decision for Kevin Cash, right? You play for the Rays, you pitch for the Rays, you know this is how it's going to be done. So I understand Blake Snell was not happy when he came out. I saw it. Yeah. That's okay. I have no problem with the pitcher
winning
being
will
upset
make you get
that
over
he's taking it.
Yeah, winning will make you get over it.
Exactly, yeah. And that's okay. I have no problem with that. But it is amazing how much stuff he does. And he gets buy-in. And I think maybe that's one of the things analytics does is it removes a lot of the emotion from the decision.
I think
if the players know that, it's okay.
I think he has options. I think when you have 4 guys out of a bullpen that throw 100 and can get a right-handed hitter out just as well as he can get a left-handed hitter out, it makes my decisions that much easier. But it's those decisions like an Aaron Loop or a Josh Fleming or a John Curtis. When do you use those? How much do you use those? Like, you know, like an Aaron Loop, that 3-batter rule kind of thing. You got to be real careful because he's erratic. You know, occasionally he's going to walk a guy and he'll give up a homer. So when do you use him? But the other guys, right, if you get that starter that can go get you into the 6th inning, all of a sudden now it's a shortened game and I got 4 guys I can throw against the wall, and it don't matter which one I pick. I know
I'll tell you what,
one of the 4 is going to get it done.
Kevin, I don't know what the hell surprised me more. Gio Urshela is one of the best hitters in the game, or Aaron Loop coming up clutch in the postseason. And I don't mean that. I don't mean that to disrespect Aaron Loop. When baseball brought the three batter rule in, the minimum three batter, a lot of people thought guys like Aaron Loop were going to be done. A lot of people thought that that there was going to be no place for them in the game. But I mean, Kevin Cash has got total confidence. Now, I'm not saying he'd use him necessarily. What? Who the hell knows? He might use him in the ninth inning. He's certainly got confidence in Aaron Loop.
Yeah, well, he's a different look. You know, Max Muncy, is he used to seeing a lefty throw from there with a spinner? Probably not. Is Cody Bellinger used to seeing it coming from down there? You're not looking for him to get him out, you know, six times in the series. It's once or twice. An element of surprise kind of thing.
590-590 is the text line. Janice and Aurora says Dodgers in five.
Yeah.
She says, it's nice to see the top seeds in the World Series. Interesting point, Janice, because I was going back and looking at that. This is only the fourth time in the wild card era. So that's since 1995 when baseball came out of the players' strike and instituted the wild card playoff system. It's only the fourth time that the top team, the team with the top record in both leagues, is playing each other in the World Series. Admittedly, it's only 60 games, but Kevin, a lot of people looked at the playoffs and said this is going to be a crap show, and you know, you're going to end up having somebody win the World Series and they're not going to be worthy. I'll tell you what, watching these guys play 5-5 and 7-7, yeah, whoever wins this thing, they're going to have worked for it.
What do you
this is the legit World Series.
What do
series.
You always say? Good pitching beats good hitting. Well, we're going to find out. The best hitting team against the best pitching team.
Mm-hmm. Chris from Kingston, if Kershaw were to come in relief and pitch a couple really good innings, do you think he would lose his reputation of being a disappointment in the playoffs?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
But I will say this, Chris. I'll say this. Clayton Kershaw has a good outing and the Dodgers win, and then, you know, if he were to pull a Randy Johnson or something like that and come in relief, I don't know, game six, okay, game seven, however it would work out.
Maybe. He goes game one, he goes seven, giving up one run, they win the game. He goes in the sixth game, he goes 6 2/3, giving up two runs. Now we can have a conversation. Until that point, like, it's Clayton Kershaw. You look at him differently than you do everybody else.
I think Clayton Kershaw is pitching for a first ballot Hall of Fame nomination this year.
He might. You might really be spot on with that.
He'll win. Let me rephrase that. There will be a lot of people. There'll be a lot of Hall of Fame voters, because you can all whine and bitch about it. But the fact is, we do put a lot of emphasis on the postseason. There'll be a lot of Hall of Fame voters whose minds will be changed if Clayton Kershaw has two good starts, first ballot guy. Without question. Barker will be back manana. I'll have a lot to talk about. We'll get you set for game one of the World Series. That will be tomorrow. And it will be... Kevin, who's in the World Series? Who are the Dodgers playing again? Just who are they playing?
I don't remember, Jeff.
Who was it?
You tell me.
What's that hat? What does that hat say?
That's disgusting.
TB. Total baseball, babies. Total baseball. Tampa Bay Rays, total baseball. Terrific baseball, Kevin. TB. Writer's Block is next.